Have your Bibles turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read verses 19, 20, and 21 for our text this morning. As the Lord speaks to our heart, as we take our responsibility in these last days that we're living in, we've got a huge responsibility that's ahead of us. But God gives us the strength, gives us the power, gives us the wisdom and the knowledge to fulfill His purpose and His plan in His time. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. Thank you for the standing of the reading of God's Word. Listen closely to the Word of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 11, verse number 3, it reads like this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Anyone that's had any connection or dealings with building a house knows that the foundation, if it's not set right and done right, things are going to go wrong the whole rest of the time building the house. It is imperative that the foundation needs to be to the very specifics of what it is designed to be and to hold up the house. Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure. I'd like to title my message this morning, "These Foundations Standeth Sure." Amen. If. Amen. If. We sometimes forget the responsibility that we have. I want you to understand that the foundations of God is sure, always will be sure, and they never will fail. But we as a body of Christ and as a child of God, we can leave such a diversion to the rest of the world that the foundations are crumbling. We can leave an attitude, or we can leave a picture that things are not really good and God's work's falling apart. So we have a great responsibility to make sure that this foundation not only is, but appears to be everything that God has designed for it to be. Amen. Amen. In this hour of shaky times, it's critical, church, that God's people stand together. Understanding today, church, we are living in critical times. And it seems like that the diversity of things seem to get more intense all the time. Something's happening all the time. But God forbid that we allow that diversity to enter into the church to cause strife and discontentment. We are in shaky times. I told you that my title of my message, "These Foundations Standeth Sure, If." And that big if is if we do our part for what God has called us to do and be. I'm sure that we will not all agree on everything all the time. We know we're always right. There will always be diversity in every church setting. And diversity can be good. But in the midst of that diversity, the foundations of God must stand sure regardless of where we're at or what we think. People, we must respect each other. We must be loyal to each other. We must be courteous to each other and love each other all the time. It is God's purpose and God's plan. You see, when we allow any of these odd things or the diverse things come into our life, we allow Satan to plant a seed to bring division and strife and contention within the church. And the church will never come to a place that God wants it to be because we have allowed our own will to enter in to God's plan. It still boggles my mind how Peter was mentored by Jesus himself. Jesus even outlined to Peter that Satan desired and wanted to sift him as wheat, Luke chapter 22 and 31. And then Jesus had Peter to wrestle with his own personal loyalty and love for Jesus in chapter 21 of John, verses 15 through 17. Jesus had Peter to wrestle with his own personal loyalty and love. There are times that we can be woke up by alarm clock and that bell goes off. While at other times, like Peter, a slap up the side of the head still doesn't get through. As humans, even Christians, church, we must understand that except for what we sung about through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are vulnerable to Satan's tactics. And the thing that we forget, it's those little bitty things. The little foxes that destroy the lion. While the psalmist David outlined the importance and the blessings of unity, it seems that a lot of church folks have developed their own criteria for such arrangements of living together under their own ideology, forgetting God's outline. The psalmist David said in 133, "How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, as long as you're doing what I want you to do." Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good, okay? The whole purpose of this message, church, is for us to build a strong foundation that Satan himself cannot destroy and cannot make it look bad. Okay? We know that God's foundation is going to stand true no matter what. But we can't allow Satan to make it look bad and look like it's crumbling if we don't do our part to stand in the gap. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. Verse 3, "It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestowed His blessings, even life forevermore." There is nothing in this world like a spirit of unity. Even though we may not agree on everything, but coming together in unity, bringing God's peace and God's love and God's joy, and fulfilling the purpose and the destiny that He has for this church, the church of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure. But if these foundations that God has ordained is compromised, within it the realm of the church of dwelling together in unity and loyalty and harmony, it will cause the foundations to disintegrate, or at least appear to the world that it's disintegrating, and the world will want nothing to do with it. If we're not careful, we can destroy the faith in someone simply because of our arrogant attitude. The growth of the church will never reach its potential when we're at odds or we're in such a diversity of spirit that we cannot be loyal to the things of God and to each other. Loyalty is the foundation of discipleship. Just as unity and harmony, somebody give me an amen, please. Amen. Just know, so I know you're awake. Just as unity and harmony and respect and love is a vital part of a healthy church, can I tell you again, the loyalty of foundation is discipleship, and unity and harmony and respect and love is that vital part of a healthy church. Amen. How many likes to be sickly all the time? It seems like some of us kind of have that plight. But nobody likes to be sick. We want to be healthy. We want to feel good. And if we are, we wake up in the morning and we feel better than we felt in weeks, we acknowledge that and we're thankful for that. And so it is. We need to dwell in a healthy church. And there's only one person that can make that church healthy, and that's you. And that's you. And that's you. And that's you. Loyalty is a foundation of discipleship. Just as unity, harmony, respect, and love is a vital part of a healthy church, which is the body of Christ. I wonder today how many of us understand our responsibility to make that all happen within the realm of the church. You say, why are you preaching such a message like this? Because we're living in the last days, and the world out there is desperately looking for something that they can grab a hold of that'll give them hope, that'll give them security, that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their future in life and their future out of this world is secure. And it's the church that God has ordained to bring us to a place that we can have that unity and loyalty and the spirit of peace that people can know and come and find what they need from God. It's our responsibility. So what's our part? What's our part of a healthy church? And if you would allow me to, in the next few minutes, I'd like to explore some reasons why it's so vitally important that the church and the people in the church finds that loyalty, that faithfulness, that unity, that respect, that plays such a part and plays such a role of that healthy church. And number one, loyalty is a principal qualification for the church of the living God. I said loyalty. I was talking to someone very recently, and used to, loyalty was a huge thing, not only in church, but in business. You know? Great, 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 great grandma shopped at IGA, so we shop at IGA. Aunt Sally's sisters, every one of them, went to church at Trinity. So we go to church at Trinity. Hello? Loyalty is a vital part of our life, especially in church. But we live in a society today that where loyalty doesn't play a part. It doesn't play a part. It doesn't matter. If you have a bad day today, that's one thing. But if who you're dealing with has a bad day today, we cut them off. Katie, bar the door. That's it. Loyalty plays a vital part. Listen, if you find someone perfect in your world, will you please let me know? Because there isn't one. You may think you are. I once thought I was, but I was sadly mistaken. My wife told me. She let me know.
My mom did.
Yeah. And women are good at that. Loyalty. I don't think we understand the value of loyalty and faithfulness in our world today. It is a top quality of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus taught it. Jesus exemplified it. It is a vital part of the church and its leadership. For a church to stay strong, its leadership must be faithful and loyal. Friendly and flashy doesn't make a good leader. Doesn't make a great individual. But it's not loyalty, it's not their loyalty or their faithfulness. The Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirement for leadership is faithfulness. Yes. Faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. When we fail to recognize our responsibility to the church, we will never see our responsibility to the kingdom of God. Do I need to say that again? The church, God ordained the church. And when we fail to see our responsibility toward the church, we will never see our responsibility for the kingdom of God. Number two, understand that in this hour that we're living in, the enemy that's fighting against loyalty, faithfulness, and the things that I've talked about already, that's fighting against it, we must understand that the fight comes from within. Therefore, we must be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, that we do not allow it to come in to our lives or our church. The fight is from within. Most don't understand this concept of its depth. We know Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, yes? And we know he is the mastermind of destroying the church from within. But we as God's children, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and have a daily and constant relationship with Him, know that we are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we are called of God and doing everything we know to do and doing our best to do it right, Satan has little to no opportunity to fight against you from the outside. Listen to what John said in John chapter 14, verse 30. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing against me. He has nothing against me. So he cannot fight us from the outside. He must find things that he can attack us from the inside. Satan has to use someone or something from within to attack the church. It's pastors, it's leadership, it's teachers, whatever. Like Judas, as he turned traitor on Jesus. What about Daniel and his loyalty and commitment to God? Satan had to use those from within with a rage of jealousy that he might destroy or try to destroy those foundations of Daniel. It's from within that the enemy can destroy a successful and powerful ministry that is doing all the right things. That's why I preach this message today. It's so vital that those within are watchmen on the wall, as I preached last week. It's the watchmen on the wall. It's the watchmen that by day and by night are guarding against the enemy and against the evil things of this world, that there is no envy or strife that comes within the church, but there's peace, there's loyalty, there's faithfulness, because we are the lighthouse of God in our community. Amen. That's why, church, it's so important that we have each other's back, are loyal to each other and the leadership of the church. Can I tell you that a disloyal person can quickly become a Judas to the church by breeding strife and discontentment, sowing hatred, murmuring, and strife, being a busybody, entertaining matters that's none of our concern. Genuine, loyal people don't meddle in other people's business. I just kicked a field goal just then and nobody shouted. Genuine, loyal people do not meddle in other people's business, but allows the leadership of the church to deal with matters according to the Scripture. And everybody else keeps their noses in the Word and out of places that's not their concern. For the church to remain strong, growing, and prosperous, disgruntled and disloyal people must either get prayed through or get prayed out. Oh, pastor. Pastor, pastor, pastor. Listen, disloyalty, there's a place to get prayed through. Hello, hello, hello. But disloyalty is like a smoke that fills the whole house. The only way to get rid of it is get prayed through or get rid of the source, to extinguish the source. Listen, it's no secret. We just miss it sometimes. Matthew 12 and 30 says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
That's right. Come on.
This coming September, we'll celebrate 38 years at Trinity. And the purpose and the plan of that is for us to be stronger at 38 years than we was at 3 years or the first year. My goal and my purpose is for us to finish well. And at 38 years, we're packing pews because people are hungry to see the power and the anointing of God. That loyalty and love resides within the church. And we're backing you up. Listen, you may not do it all right all the time, but we're with you. We're going to support you. We're going to help you. We're going to be more than a conqueror because Christ is on our side. Our responsibility is to keep the foundation strong. Number three, for the love of God, it is a must for the church to be filled with that love. If you read the criterion in God's Word for love, it sets the stage. There's no variance. There's no ifs. You do this, I love you. Or if you do that, God doesn't keep score with where we're at, and we shouldn't keep score with those of like precious faith or even those that are in the world that need the love more than anything else. Can I tell you the Christian ministry is supposed to be marked by the love of God? Christian ministry is supposed to be marked by unity and teamwork. To minister to effectively, church, not only within this community, but within the outside community, to minister effectively, we must exhibit the love of Jesus Christ and the way He talks about it. Can somebody say, I got to exhibit? Exhibit. Let it roll off your lips. Exhibit God's love. We got to exhibit God's love. Did you know that people are attracted to love? How many times have you used the saying, it's a lot easier to draw bees with honey than it is with vinegar? But how come we use vinegar so much? People are attracted to love. And when those in the church flow together in genuine love, other people want to come in. Hey, that's good. That's good stuff. People are attracted to love. And when those in the church flow together in genuine love and show genuine love, other people want in. Listen, new folks that come in looking for a church family, they're neither blind nor deaf. And they can sense if there's any disunity or discord when they're there. And it takes every one of us to keep out disunity and discord. Listen, Psalms chapter 23, very familiar passage of Scripture. Every one of us could quote the whole chapter. But verse 2 said, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. I learned something about sheep this week. Sheep will not drink of murky or rough water. Listen, get that analogy of where we're at. That verse of Scripture that was hid there in verse 2 of Psalms 23, there's a reason. Sheep only drink from clear, still water. If that water is murky or rough, sheep will stray away. You know why? Because murky and rough water, they don't know whether there's an alligator or a snake in that water, so they don't go near it. Oh, come on, somebody. Good preaching right here. People's not going to find fellowship if they sense danger. We must, as a church, our responsibility is to help keep the water pure and still and peaceful so the sheep will drink from it. Number four, the ministry and the ministerial team of this church, to be successful, everyone wants to be successful, right? But not everyone wants you to be successful. Did you get that? We all want to be successful, but not everybody wants you. Satan don't want you to be successful, for one. And if we're not careful, Satan will put, like he did Daniel's friends, he'll put a seed of resentment or jealousy because somebody has, you know, gotten a little too close to the pastor, and pastor just treats them a little too good, and they've got this special place in the leadership of the church, and so we just don't, that's just not right. So we get our feathers all ruffled. We don't need any ruffled feathers in the church. A long time ago, I heard that example of that was a foo-foo bird that was always flying backwards, that had the feathers always ruffled. Okay? Just so you'll know what a foo-foo bird is. That's what it is. They always got their feathers ruffled because they're always flying backwards. Did I say that right, Sister Snow? Backwards? Yeah, Sister Snow, know what we're talking about. We fail to realize the responsibility that we have as a church of Jesus Christ. We fail to realize the responsibility. There's people watching you. There's people watching me. There's people that desire the love of God, and they're looking diligently to find that love. They're looking diligently to find that loyalty, that I'm with you today and I'm with you tomorrow, but if you do wrong, you're out of here. People don't want that kind of murky water. They want water of stability, because we all fall. We all make mistakes, but we need somebody there to pick us up and help us through those rough times. John chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 said, "Herein my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." When you got envy and strife, you're bearing bad fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. "So shall ye be my disciples." Listen. "As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue in my love." That's Jesus speaking. John chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. It's imperative. It's imperative that a successful church works together as a team. Somebody say team.
Team.
All say it louder. Somebody say team.
Team.
There's no I's or the big I's or little U's, but unity in brotherly love, united in one mind, set to accomplish all that God has designed for this body. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, 32 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another." Not when you feel like it or when they deserve it. "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Listen. I love how the Amplified Version puts this passage of Scripture. It says, "Let all bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abuse, or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely." That's the hard part. Freely. Freely. As God has forgiven you. In this work of the Lord, we are admonished to be sober, and in all things consider our brother first in all things that we do. Number five, for the church to grow numerically, its members must grow spiritually. I'm convinced that it's more vital for spiritual growth in the church than numerically. Although I believe with everything within my heart that if we grow rightly in the spiritual realm, we won't have to worry about the increase of those that come to join the love and the unity. Acts 2:44 said, "And all that believed were gathered and had all things common." Have you found a church that has those yet? "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple." It wasn't in a Honda either, okay? "And breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." There was, it was togetherness. "Praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Stay with me. All I like is finishing, okay? Okay, it's all I like, finishing. Some of you's grinning, some of you ain't grinning. Church without loyalty and unity, every local church and each of its ministries will see no growth. And will experience a slow but consistent erosion of what God has designed for that part of the body to accomplish. It is imperative that we put our emotions aside so that God can and will accomplish in this church what He desires. And even the more, as we bear the name of Christians, that we become Christ-like in all of our motives, in all of our unity, in our loyalty, our integrity. And in all we do or hope to be, let it all be for the glory of God. As I mentioned to you a while ago, this coming September will be 38 years. It's imperative for the church to come together in unity in the spirit of loyalty and faithfulness so that there might be longevity within the church. I forget, I read the other day how many churches was closing daily. There has been a great number of churches that closed in this pandemic, and many of them have never reopened. This had not ought to be. We need each other, especially in these times like never before. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the flavor this world needs." You are the flavor this world needs. But the salt, if it's lost its savor, if its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, be trodden under the foot of man. Verse 14, "You are the light of the world." The world needs direction right now. The world needs a spotlight to tell people that there is a hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. We are to be like a city set up on a hill that is not hid. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light to all the house." And He admonishes us by saying in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is what I was talking about a while ago when it's so imperative. The foundation of God will not crumble, but the enemy will come in to make it look like it's about ready to fall apart. But unless you and I pull together and do what God has for us to do, good works, so that men may see that there is something different about our lifestyle. Longevity that is far and few between in our society today, whether it be business or in churches. But the attributes of a long-lasting ministry must be built on integrity, unity, loyalty, and the love for people. 37 years ago, this ministry was not built on Mike Horton. I'm telling you. Okay, listen to me. No brag, just fact. I didn't build this on Mike Horton. I accepted the call of God. Though ridiculed, made fun of, I knew what God said. Did not build this ministry on Mike Horton, but on the call which God, Jesus Christ, has established my life, my ministry, and this church. And for this ministry to continue It must have the influence and an effective, loyal team. Can I tell you, it can't just depend upon me, and it won't. If I die tomorrow, this church must continue on. We are at a place that we call this Trinity, a place for the whole family. And it's each responsibility, whether it's a family or individual, that makes up this church family, that will cultivate an atmosphere for lost souls to find their place. Can I tell you, church, it is a place that must be cultivated by each individual here, that it cultivates an atmosphere for lost souls to find a place. It's the love, the loyalty, the integrity, and the commitment to this community that creates a place of security and comfort. Number seven, this is my last point. Everybody said amen. Thank you. For the church to reap its full reward, it must finish well. We must maintain until the call comes from up on high and the trumpet sounds and we leave this world. It is imperative for you and I to reach our full reward, to finish well. Those who benefit from the blessings of success are those who are faithful and loyal to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's those who stick with you through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times. It's those that will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." I'm about ready to shout. I just want to be faithful to the end. Loyalty is most appreciated when it's there in hard times. It's easy to seem loyal in good times, but it's in those times, in many cases, when things get rough and loyalty is tested. Bags are packed and airline tickets are purchased. I can't express my gratitude enough to those that have stood with us the last 37 years. Been easier for you to run, especially in times when accusations and lies were flying like rocket attacks. It would have been easier when lies were told to decide to leave. But even in my mistakes and failures, you supported us. You encouraged us to go on. And you will never, ever know what your loyalty means to me. And Jesus said, He's keeping record. And He said, you will have your reward. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus speaking to His disciples, and even every one of them, in His most harshest time, left Him. He still valued their loyalty when they come back to the table. This is what makes a church in God's kingdom a success. It's through the good times and the bad times that people see your faithfulness. They see your loyalty to the church leaders and the body of Christ, and realize there must be more to it than just meets the eye. People are looking for that which is genuine. And you folks know how to be genuine and endure and stand for the right. Two verses of Scripture and I'm closing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, if you understand your responsibility, happy, happy are you that do them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. I do all for the glory of God. This church more than ever before, this body at Trinity more than ever before, needs to be a lighthouse in a world that's so filled with hatred, discontent. Let our light so shine before men that we have an opportunity to season those that come our way. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to present it like this. And how many of you today are ready and willing to be a part of God's church in the full capacity of His love? Just lift your hands toward Jesus right now and talk to Him. Father God, I don't understand all there is to know about it. Don't claim to. Father God, I know that there must be something more. There's got to be something more. Your word has declared it. Your word has been spoken. And Lord, here we are before you. And we lay our life out before you, O God. Lord, we want to be that servant that is faithful, loyal. And that the unity of Jesus Christ is in every crevice of our heart and our mind. Lord, let us serve you. Let us serve you, Lord, in simplicity, but in sincerity. Here we are, God. Naked and undone before you. Lord, that need direction. We need direction. God, I pray that you'll touch your people right now. I wonder where you're at right now, if you could just humbly talk to God right now and say, God, would you turn the searchlight upon me? Father God, will you just help me to understand, help me to see everything that I need to be for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, taking my responsibility. Lord, help me to accept my responsibility.